2 Timothy chapter 3, we're beginning at verse 10 today. You know, last Sunday we talked about Paul's warning to Timothy about those who loved pleasure more than they loved God, and about the false teachers and their influence that was drawing what he called the weak-willed away from the truth. And so this morning, beginning in verse 10, Paul points to the contrast between Timothy and the followers of Jesus and those who simply follow their own lust or follow after the world. So he writes in verse 10, "You, however, you, Timothy, know all about my teaching and my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured." And then he offers this kind of word of hope to Timothy. "Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them, and he's been faithful in the past, and Tim, maybe he'll rescue me again," although he's going to go on to say, "But I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." So he recognized what would likely be. And Paul is saying to Timothy, there's what the false teachers say and how they live their life, but you, Timothy, you know me and how I've lived my life and what I say. You know the truth and integrity of the gospel. You know my teaching and my character and my conduct. And while others are departing from the faith and departing from the teaching of the gospel and from the church, he says, you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know it's the truth, and because you know those who taught you this truth. And that's Paul's counsel to Timothy. That's part of how he's preparing him to make sure he can navigate through these troubled times. Continue in what you know, because you know who imparted that truth to you. You know me and my teaching, he says. And he says it again, you know me, you know my way of life, my purpose, my faith. It's a lot of me and my. Is Paul being boastful in this? No, I don't think he's bragging. He's simply making a valid point and offering an invitation to Timothy to examine Paul's conduct and his teaching and his life. And think about it. I mean, when you compare this, so he says, one way to look at it is, is Timothy a better person? Is Paul a better person? Are we better people because of embracing the truth of the gospel? And when we compare ourselves to the list that he begins the chapter with, those who are unkind, unloving, unforgiving, brutal, conceited, arrogant, all the things that he lists there, rash, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and you compare that list then to those who love Jesus and love God and are willing to sacrifice for others, that's the character and the conduct that's produced as fruit of the gospel, as opposed to the character and conduct of those who embrace this false doctrine. It's quite a contrast. It's bad fruit versus good fruit. And Paul says to him, look at the contrast. You know me, and you know my life and my purpose and my willingness to suffer for the truth. He doesn't say it, but I think we could say it. Do you think any of those false teachers and those who've followed that way, are any of them willing to suffer and sacrifice for others? Remember, the Bible says, I mean, what he said about them was they were lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's my recollection that those who are lovers of pleasure avoid suffering and sacrifice at all cost, right? I just want what pleases me. I don't want anything else. And so, no, Paul's showing, pointing out this contrast between his manner of life, his teaching, and that of the world. Paul's saying, Timothy, don't let their foolish arguments even start to move you off the path. Think of what you've learned from me and think about what's been imparted to you. And he says it again, you know me, you know my teaching, my way of life, you know my purpose, you know my single-minded commitment to Christ, you know my genuine faith in God, my fidelity and loyalty to Christ and to his church, you know about my patience, my tolerance toward aggravating people and frustrating circumstances. Timothy, you've seen me in all kinds of situations. You know about my endurance, and regardless of the persecutions I've endured, you know that I've refused to stop or surrender or to quit. And you see, Timothy knew the Apostle Paul very well. He really was a spiritual father to him. And he'd observed him in all these situations. And Paul not only was being a father to Timothy, but he was saying to them, look, you've seen what's happened in my life, and what I'm telling you is you're going to need to reflect these same virtues as well, because I'm not going to be there to be supporting you anymore, because I'm getting ready to go to heaven. This is what I've shown you. This is what I've taught you. Now, Timothy, keep running the race. remain faithful, continue on, even in persecution and troubled times, continue to press on and to carry this just as I've shown you. Paul mentions then persecution that he'd suffered in three different cities, in Antioch, in Iconium, and then in Lystra. He'd escaped from a plot of death in Antioch and Iconium, and then those people all came to Lystra when he got there, and they ended up convincing people. They drug him outside the city. You can read about it in Acts 13 and Acts chapter 14. They drug him outside of the city, stoned Paul, and left him for dead. And Timothy was a citizen of Lystra. He had perhaps been there, might have witnessed it, or might have been helping Paul to get away the next day. It may have influenced him to become a more committed follower of Jesus. But the point is that Timothy had known Paul from the beginning, from the start, 31 years or however long it had been. And Timothy knew the genuineness, the legitimacy of the faith and the teaching and the life and the conduct and the character of the Apostle Paul. He knew the one that had taught him the Word of God. He knew his doctrine. He knew his conduct. He knew his way of life. Tim knew who taught him the Word of God. And I want to say a word about the importance of the local church this morning, putting in a plug for the local church. And I've seen people get fired up about the latest celebrity preacher or the latest church and all the guys out there that kind of, and I'm not knocking independent churches or whatever, but it's kind of that deal of suddenly, man, you ought to hear this and you need this and this teaching and this prophetic word. We did it all the way back in the days of the TV evangelist, you know, and why don't you preach like that? Why don't we have that guy come? He has words of knowledge and all this kind of stuff or whatever, and I'm not knocking the gifts of the Spirit, absolutely, but it looked good on PTL, you know, it looked good on there, it looks good on social media, but do we know anything about them? Do we know their life? Do we know their conduct? Do we know their character? Because, man, it looks good on TV, but what do we know about this person? Do we know how they live? And again, it sounds good out there, but what do you know? Do you know their doctrine beyond the video? And again, I'm not judging, I'm not condemning, I'm not mentioning names this morning. I'm just saying, here's the value. I just want to show you the contrast. Here's the value of the local church. You know the people. You know the teacher, you know the pastor, or at least you can know them. You know their life and their lifestyle. And it's Paul telling Timothy, I don't know about all the other, but you know me, and you know my teaching, and you know my character, you know how I've lived my life, you know those details. And I don't know the lifestyle of all the preachers and prophets, and they may all live holier, better lives than me, and I hope they do, but I know the pastors of this local assembly. I know kind of what I'm getting here. I knew the pastors of the last 50 years of this church. I knew F.C. Cornell, and I knew H.D. Peratt, and I knew J.L. McQueen, and I realized working on this, I need better initials for my name. But I knew their teaching, and I knew their conduct, and I knew their way of life, and I saw the fruit of their lives and the consistency of their lives. Folks, that's the pastors for 65 years. That puts me in that bunch too or whatever. But we know the scandal-free, well, there's me, but anyway, we know the scandal-free past 65 years of this church. Again, I knew them and the integrity of their heart and their life and ministry. And I know the heart and the character of the pastors here now, of that pastor and the one that's monitoring this service online and that pastor that's doing children's stuff and that other pastor that went to help somewhere else in the building this morning. I know the pastors of this church and I know their conduct and their life and their devotion. And so line us up, but I'll stand with these guys. I'll go into battle. I'll go to whatever we need to do with these people because I know them and I know these guys and I'll battle with them too. It's the importance of the local church. Somebody ought to say amen to that today. And I know it's simpler and easier, and I've got my youth pastor sitting back there, youth pastors with Dave and Brenda Kelly. I know the integrity of their lives for 50 years. And so the local church is vital and important. We need to be a part of this local church. Paul's thankful the Lord rescued him out of every evil plot, but he warns Timothy that whoever lives a godly life can expect to suffer persecution. And Paul says it like a guarantee. You will be persecuted. It's like those rides at Branson. You will get wet on this ride. It wasn't like there's a shot at it. Oh, no, you're going underwater. You'll be persecuted, so don't be surprised. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And evil men and imposters, he calls them charlatans, the false teachers, will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, and as for you, Carbondale, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You've known from the beginning, someone's been imparting this body of truth delivered to you, the Word of God. These evil men, the false teachers, the imposters or charlatans, he says, they're phonies. They're not legit in their teaching. He says they'll go from bad to worse. They're not only deceiving, but they themselves will be deceived. But you, Timothy, you, church, continue in what you've learned and been convinced of. Continue in the Holy Scripture, because you know this word is true and reliable. It will bring you to salvation. It's inspired. Paul calls it God-breathed. He tells Timothy in verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Continue to hold on to the Word of God. Embrace that teaching. It's vital to your salvation. The Apostle John tells us, see that what you've heard from the beginning remains in you. Take this word, what you've heard, because it's the truth, and hold on to it. If it does, you'll also remain in the Son and in the Father. It's vital to us. And then in 2 John verse 9, anyone who runs ahead and doesn't continue in the teaching of Christ doesn't have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. It's that thing of, well, I know we had that, you know, we kind of embraced that. But listen, there's a higher plane. There's a higher consciousness. There's a new wisdom that comes in the universe. And we can embrace all that. And Paul says to that. And it's kind of in the Greek, I think it says on that. Maybe not. Anyone who runs ahead, you got so far out there that you got ahead of the gospel. You got ahead of the truth of the Word of God. And he says, and you know what? Then you lose God in the process too. You have to hold on to this word. Stay in the word because you know this is truth. Stay in the word because persecution's coming, and it's the word that keeps you centered and keeps you grounded, and it'll get you through the troubled times. Stay in the word because you know from whom you learned it. You knew their character and their way of life and their purpose and their love and their calling and their patience and endurance and their integrity and the faithfulness of their lives. I can tell you this morning, I know those who imparted truth to me. And there wasn't a phony among them, all right? From infancy, like Timothy, my parents and elders, that faithful saints of God that imparted the Scripture to me and introduced me to God's saving grace. The first Sunday back in the sanctuary after the remodel in 2018, we showed some pictures of video that we talked about. We were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and I want to play this video. It's just pictures, but it's pictures that some of you will recognize. I ask if we could find it, because some of you will recognize family, and some of you will see parents or grandparents. Some of you will see pastors that were here before us. I can't start calling all the names, but my mom and dad are about to come down out of there. There's a whole bunch of folk that we love. There's Brother McQueen and Dr. Brock, Ray Hale, Brother Peratt's in here, F.C. Cornell's in here. I know these people. If you grew up somewhere else and not Carbondale, you can run your own video in your own head of faces that are just like these, people that were faithful, people that taught you the Word of God, people that showed you the way, that modeled for you what a godly life looked like and how to live and how to respond in tough times. Continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. I know that crowd right there. Somebody taught you to depend on the grace of the Lord Jesus. Somebody taught you and modeled for you and imparted. Somebody sat down with you as a child and said, learn this, because this is the answer, and this is the truth, and this will direct your steps. If you hide this word in your heart, you won't sin against God, and you won't fail, and you won't have the regrets that some of us have. If you'll live by this book, it'll make all the difference in your life. And Paul says to Timothy, continue in what you've learned and what you've been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Don't stop now. Don't stop because the days are evil. Don't stop because it's become inconvenient. It's still the truth. Remember what you learned and what you became convinced of, and remember who taught you, and remember their testimony, and remember the strength of their character and their conduct and their life. They weren't charlatans. They weren't imposters. They were speaking the truth. They were the real deal. And Paul says, now keep going, Timothy. Keep going. Paul says, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of. You know those from whom you learned it. Continue, church. This local church is the means of communicating truth and of transferring that truth from one generation to the next, like our missionary shared this morning. It's important that we need the church, and we need to continue the work that he's called us to do. Continue on in what we've learned and keep passing it to the next generation. Sarah wrote something and posted it on Facebook this week, and I just took a snip of it, but I wanted to share it. I thought it was so powerfully written. Get you a church, she said, not just any church. A church full of people of multiple generations, with people who know you, like really know you. For my entire life, I've looked over my shoulder and seen one or all of my grandparents worshiping Jesus behind me. This year has been tough because of COVID. My grandma and so many other saints haven't been able to attend in person. I've missed them. I've missed seeing them smile and sit in their assigned by God seats. I've missed hearing them say amen and seeing them worship. I've missed a lot of things. But last Sunday, my grandma was behind me, and so many others are making their way back to sit in the pews their hearts never left during these long months. My heart is feeling a little lighter. And sometimes in the middle of life's journey, we can get sidetracked on what's most important about church and priorities and decisions that have to be made. This is why you need to be in a generational church, because sometimes you just need to watch another generation worship and remind yourself that when all is said and done and the days left in the journey are fewer than the ones you've already walked, the promise that Jesus loves you and will never leave you is all that you need. I'm thankful for my church, for it's the house that built me, raised me, taught me, and loved me then and now. And Paul says, I say amen to that, but Paul says, continue in this because you know whom you've learned this from. It's the right stuff. And so I'm asking you today, what do you say that we continue? What do you say that we continue on in this truth that's been imparted to us at great sacrifice by the church of the Lord Jesus over the past 2,000 years? People died in order to get us the Word of God in a printed form so that all of us could read it and study it. People died for that. People died to preach the gospel, to carry it to tribes and nations and languages that nobody had ever heard. People sacrificed everything. Early Pentecostal preachers and teachers sacrificed everything to plant the gospel in this country and to take it to indigenous people, to take it to people that had never heard. Folks, there was a price to be paid. And the question is, are you ready to say, I'll continue it? I'll take it because I'm convinced of it, because I'm convinced of the integrity of the book, and I'm convinced of the integrity of those who presented it to me. I'm going to keep going. I'll remain steadfast and strong. I'll carry this truth on even in troubled times. I'll carry it to the next generation, young people and teenagers and college students and young married families and singles and us elders or whatever. Will we remain steadfast and committed to the faith and to the church and to the purpose? Paul says, look, get hold of this word and hide it, and then you'll be equipped for every good work. You'll be able to handle every storm and every circumstance and everything that comes our path. I'm telling you, we're being persecuted here in America because we had to wear a mask and we couldn't meet, you know. Oh, seriously. I mean, you that are watching online, I'm sorry you didn't get to hear what some other parts of the world are dealing with. We're going to continue regardless of what the price is. We're going to continue regardless of what's around us. We're going to remain faithful and steadfast because we know who taught us. We know the integrity of this word. Stay committed to this word so you'll be thoroughly equipped Troubled times are upon us. Living a godly life will get you persecuted. That's what he says. But if we stay committed to Jesus and continue in the truth that's been imparted to us, we'll be able to hear him say someday, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful, and now enter into the joys of the Lord. Continue in what you've learned because you know those from whom you learned it." I'm saying yes. I'm saying I'm committed. I'm committed to this word and to the church and to what he calls us to. I want you to just say yes to this. Say yes to Jesus this morning. Just tell him this morning in your own heart, "Lord, I'm committed to your word. I'm committed to the truth. I'm committed to your church. It may be Carbondale. It may be another church. It may be another denomination or whatever, but you're committed to the truth of the gospel, committed to that truth and to his body, the church. Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves to you today, that we say yes to you, Lord. I mean, we may have hit some hard times, but we haven't been arrested and thrown in jail yet, Lord. Persecution may come, but you know what? We're going to continue in the truth because we know its integrity. We know that this is God-breathed, that the scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. This is the word of God. This book is alive to us. It's the gospel, and it makes us wise to salvation. And so we embrace it, and we say yes to it, and we will continue in the gospel. We'll continue in the doctrine of the church. We'll continue, Lord, to be faithful to what you've called us to. We'll continue in what we've learned because we know those from whom we've learned it. We'll continue. We'll say yes to you, yes to your plan and purpose. God, take us and train us. God, take us and use us. Help us, Lord, by the Holy Spirit to equip us, Lord, to be the witnesses. The verse we learned this morning with the children, that you'll give us power to be witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, Lord. Let us have power to be witnesses in our home and in our neighborhood and in our classroom and to our teammates and to our co-workers. God, help us to be faithful and obedient to all that you call us to, and let us continue on, Lord. There'll be 1,000 reasons why we could give it up. There'll be 100 good reasons why we ought to just write it off as just old-fashioned and we're moving on to something else. But, oh, Jesus, help us to know that this is truth and this is God's word. It's gospel. It's good news. And we'll continue on in what we've learned because we know that it's true and we know those from whom we learned it. May it be for each of us, for every heart that feels like quitting, for every person that's discouraged this morning. Encourage them by your Spirit. Lift them up, Lord. Sweeten your presence in their own mind and heart, Lord, right now, so that they just sense you and they're thinking, "I can't quit. Jesus is too near and dear. Heaven's too close. Your word is true, and I won't stop, and I won't quit, and I won't back down. I won't miss heaven, not for anything or anyone. I'll remain true." Lord, let it be for us today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. To those who hide God's word in your heart, he will make your path straight. He will lead you with his counsel, with his eye upon you, and you'll walk in peace. You'll dwell in safety, and you'll know the hand of the Lord leading and guiding you. Don't depart from his word. Don't depart from the truth of the gospel. It is the power of God that's brought salvation to you. It's wisdom for you in every decision and at every turn, every moment of your life. Trust in him. Lean upon him. Rely upon his word. Remain steadfast, for the Lord himself speaks through his word, and he will bring you life and peace as you abide in him. Let it be, Lord. Let it be to us today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can continue on in you. Oh, I bless you for it. I bless you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's continue on in the faith. Let's continue on in the grace of the Lord, his mercy. My little grandma told her kids, my mom's mom, "Children, don't miss heaven. Because if you miss heaven, you've missed everything. Don't miss heaven. Continue on in the faith. Continue on the faithfulness of his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're watching online and couldn't hear all that or wonder what was happening, the gifts of the Spirit that operate that talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues. You can read it there. We'd be happy to answer more questions, or you here in the house as well. We want you to be confident about the word of the Holy Spirit to us. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace today. Amen and amen. I thank you for being here. Thanks for sticking with us. Let's continue in what God's called us to. Amen. You can be dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night or Sunday morning next, online or in person. God bless you.